Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents My Valentine by C.M. Steele, narrated by Marie Hawkins and Hector Carrillo. Chapter 1. Valentine. The HR manager, Agnes Fletcher, approaches my desk with a smile. She never smiles, which makes me nervous. I smile back like I would for everyone that walks through the office doors, because it's my job. What is she up to? It's the last day before the office is closed for the Christmas and New Year's holiday break. With government and public offices closed, or with limited hours, the law firm decided to close for the holiday break. We'll have a full week of time paid off since the holidays fall on the weekend. Agnes leans on my reception desk, folding her arms and grinning from ear to ear. Valentine, I have great news for you. After the holiday break, you're moving upstairs to the big boss's offices. What? I shoot back in my rolling chair, hitting the wall about 6 feet behind my desk. My face falls, but I quickly mask it. I know, it's huge. Huge, all right. I brush loose strands of my hair behind my ear, taking a calming breath while scooting my chair back under my desk. Huge is an understatement. King size is more like it. Working for Wyatt King isn't for the faint of heart or those with thin skin. He's a tough man, dedicated to his career and the law, living at the office more than at his home. He expects the best from his employees, which forces his underlings to flee for less intense positions. Mr. King still has a couple of law clerks who love the law and work just as hard, but it seems his latest receptionist has fled. Why do you need me up there? Agnes sighs, losing her smile briefly. His latest receptionist quit this week, and we need someone to replace her. You were the recommendation. What about down here? If I'm going upstairs, who would take my position? Am I that dispensable? She stands straight and waves her hand dismissively. We can call the temp agency we use from time to time. In fact, I have to do that as soon as I head back to my office, just in case they can't get someone in time. What if they can't get someone to replace me? I ask, hating to leave the team without all the help I provide daily. It's not like I'm invaluable, but I'm still an integral part of the organization. She smiles and shakes her head, tapping her hand flatly on my desk. Mr. King's office needs a proper receptionist, and you're great at your job, so you're being bumped up. They will just have to do without you down here. Okay. This is a positive step, and I should see it as such. But I know there's a chance of getting canned, or worse, showcasing that I can't handle the pressure. Mr. King is one of the city's most intelligent, hardworking, and fiercest lawyers. He wins cases easily, or so it seems. But those who work here know his dedication and effort make it happen. Don't worry. Nothing really changes except that you'll be working on the top floor. It has fewer visitors and more calls than this floor. As the big dogs, they don't have time to be checking voicemails all day or letting calls go unanswered, so they need someone to handle that task all the time. I suppose that's a good thing. There can be some seriously annoying people that appear at my desk on the regular, like the delivery drivers who enjoy flirting with me. Well, only one in particular. I haven't reported it or anything because it's extremely casual, but it's clear that I'm not interested in him, and he doesn't seem to get the hint at all. At least all deliveries for Mr. King's office are routed from this floor and then delivered upstairs by Jason. You'd think it would be beneath him as one of the law clerks for an associate attorney, but he goes up there for meetings almost daily anyway, so it's not a big deal. Yes, Mr. King doesn't like people in his sanctuary just in case any private information is shared. That's why Jason does it instead of someone like me. Although it seems now I've been brought into the inner sanctum. I'm afraid I don't want to be there. Understood. I try to put on a cheerful smile. Still, I can see my reflection in the glass doors that separate the reception area from the elevators, and my expression is more of a grimace. Relax. I promise they'll love you up there if you keep doing the great work you already do. So when does this all take place? I'm hoping there's going to be a transition period, but I doubt it. The first day we're all back in the office. As I expected. No transition time. Is there anything you need me to do today to close up shop here? I have a million questions, and I'm sure I'll forget half of them before she makes her escape. Talk to your bosses here, and then meet with me on Monday because there are a few things we have to fill out. It's nothing much, but it's different working for Mr. King than others. I understand. His team is a lot more hands-on. Everything has to be done seamlessly, which means he doesn't have time to play games with employees. NDAs and things like that have to be signed on top of the standard employee contracts. Good. So, I'll leave you to your day. Have a fabulous Christmas and New Year. She leaves with an extra pep in her step, like a weight has been lifted off her shoulders. Unfortunately, it's been dumped on mine. She enters the elevator, turning to smile at me once more before the door closes. And I can't help but smile back in all politeness when all I want to do is frown. Working alongside Wyatt King isn't something I'm prepared to do. He's an enigma. Handsome, smart, unsociable, gruff, almost scary. And yet, we've only crossed paths 3 times in the almost 1 year that I've worked here, and each time it was at a distance. I saw him, but he never saw me. Each instance, I felt my heart race out of control. It's no wonder he wins so many court cases. Many people probably can't even speak properly in his presence. Throughout the day, I get downcast looks from my team who aren't pleased about me leaving, but they know there's nothing they can do about the promotion for me. Hell, it's not like I applied to be moved upward.
We're going to miss your excellent skills down here, but King's going to love you up there, if he's even capable of that emotion, said Mr. Powell, the associate attorney.
He's been here the longest and has known the boss for as long.
Well, he'll be pleased, at best. Jason chuckles.
They all laugh at the boss's expense. A part of me feels upset on his behalf, even though I know he's completely uptight and everything they're saying is truthful. Still, there's something in my gut that twists when I think about Wyatt King, an ache that keeps me up at night, longing. When the workday ends, several of us walk toward the train station together and then part ways as we wait for our different lines. I pull out my book from my bag and start reading to forget the stress. As soon as I get home, I call my best friend Petra, who always makes time for my calls.
Hello, my bestie. Are you joining us soon?
Yes, tomorrow. I can't wait to hang out with her and her loving husband. They're a boatload of fun.
We'll have a driver pick you up.
Awesome. I could use it instead of taking the train. Today was rough. My complaint doesn't go unnoticed by my bestie.
Oh, no. What happened?
I didn't have time to talk to you, but they're moving me up to the big boss's floor as the office assistant.
Are you serious? That's huge.
I can hear the excitement in her voice, but she doesn't know the details about the tyrant Mr. King.
Yes, but the boss can be difficult. Well, difficult can be fun.
She giggles, and then I hear Jack growling next to her. I can just picture her wagging her eyebrows while staring at her husband/boss.
Take it easy, and I'll see you tomorrow. We're hanging out all this weekend, and we're celebrating New Year's Eve together. Don't try to get out of it.
She scolds me. I roll my eyes.
Yes, Mom. How dare you?
She gasps and then giggles. My parents and I haven't gotten along in years, and they cut me off for being friends with Petra. When Petra married Jack, they tried to come back into my life, but I shunned them like they did us. Sorry, but I'll still be there.
Good. I'm sure Jack will have some hot guys for you to meet.
The fuck I will.
Now that makes me laugh.
Just come on. I'm sure Julian will have friends for you to meet.
I roll my eyes because Jack continues to growl and Petra laughs. She loves to rile him up, because he's going to go all caveman in the bedroom, or whatever room he can get her alone in. My holiday break flew by in a flash. We traveled, ate delicious food, and hung out with friends, celebrating the holidays like we had never before. I enjoyed the holiday, but it was over and the coach had turned back into a pumpkin, and my nose was back to the grindstone.
Although, I would have to say that my Christmas present was the best I'd ever gotten, and too lavish. A new car. I'd never owned a vehicle before, and now I had one to get to and from work, which was nice, but it wouldn't be coming in until next week. For now, I'll be taking the train, which is fine, because I'm not sure I'm ready to drive through the snow. Still, I was just happy to be with my favorite people. Of course, hanging out with my favorite people in the entire world made the time fly. And yes, Julian and Jack had plenty of friends for me to meet, but I hadn't given any of them more than 5 minutes of my time, because my mind kept going straight to Wyatt King and what today would bring. Would he see me and feel the instant attraction that floods my bones every time I see him? Or would he just treat me like every other employee and work me to the bone until I quit? Only time would tell. My hands were shaking as I made my way off the train. It wasn't the icy cold of January, but rather the nervousness of being Wyatt King's office assistant that had them quivering. Working for him wasn't a simple task, and I'm not sure I'm up for it. Not that I'd been given a choice in the matter. As I reached the 10-story building entrance, a harsh wind burns my skin and I wish I'd worn a scarf. My cheeks are going to be flush all day now. I barely make it through the revolving doors when I'm met by an exasperated Agnes. There you are! We need to get upstairs quickly! She grabs my bicep and quickly ushers me to the bank of elevators off to the side of the security desk with no more explanation. She jabs the button to the top floor like it will make it go any faster. The doors finally shut and we rode up. It was a brief trip, but every time I was about to speak, she'd mutter something to herself, so I'd bite my tongue. Seriously, what the hell was going on today? We barely step off the elevator to flat ground when she drags me through the glass doors to a woman I've seen before but never met. She quickly introduces me to a buttoned-up woman in her mid-30s to late-30s as Miss Glinda Dalton. Ms. Dalton presses her hand to my shoulder, leading me down the corridor, leaving Agnes behind, who is already making her way out to the elevators as fast as she can.
Miss Pernetti, Mr. King is at the courthouse today and won't be in until this evening, so we have a few hours to prepare everything.
A few hours? A whole workday is more like it.
He's a busy man and has a full caseload this month. Unfortunately, his law clerk quit, joining a less fast-paced firm this morning. You and I will be putting together the required case files, including any necessary affidavits, transcripts, and statutes pertaining to the case.
Outside the double doors, I pause.
Miss Dalton, I'm not prepared to be a law clerk. I came here as an office assistant to Mr. King.
She smiles, shrugs her shoulders, and then opens the doors to the large library area.
Yes, well, things change. Consider this your crash course. You're now Mr. King's office assistant with temporary needs elsewhere. Sit your coat and things down there for now.
I came to answer phones, sort mail, smile, serve coffee, and be the little helper. Not all these extra advanced tasks they handle. It's bad enough that I was already jumping up a level or two with this group versus my team downstairs. Now I'm forced to take on tasks that I'd never attempted before. I'm overwhelmed with the amount of self-doubt that floods me, but she looks me in the face.
You are able to read and alphabetize, correct?
Of course, I bite out, annoyed and frustrated by this turn of events and her snarky tone.
Then relax. I'll ease you into what needs to be done.
I take a deep breath and listen to her instructions, and like she said, she does just that. When I prove myself after the first 30 minutes, I relax and gain more confidence. Perhaps this job won't be as difficult as I presumed. We spend almost all day and into the late afternoon working without taking a break. Even two other clerks, Jason Maxwell and Tom Johnson, come upstairs to lend a hand. They worked with me downstairs. We've been busting our butts, and I haven't had more than a bottle of water all day. I'm exhausted and hungry. All I can think about is sinking my teeth into a giant, greasy cheeseburger until the sharp footsteps click through the marble tiles and into the conference room.
Mr. King!
Miss Dalton gasps. I lift my head to find this 6'2" beast of a man in all black, looking extremely fierce. Dark eyelashes highlight his killer gray eyes,
screaming dangerous predator with just a gaze. His hair is a dark brown, almost black, with hints of gray streaks coming in on the sides. I swallow hard and look around, wondering if anyone can hear the sound my throat made. When our eyes meet for just a moment, I know he did. I can't believe this is my boss. I'm in trouble.
Chapter 2. Wyatt. A broken water main in the area shut down the courthouse for the remainder of the day, which was perfect for me since the piece-of-shit law clerk who had just 6 months under his belt with my firm left earlier than the 2 weeks he was supposed to give me. I'd received an email this morning, but I hadn't had a moment to deal with the matter. Unfortunately, I have a new employee starting today, so there's enough chaos going on that I might not get a lot done. When I arrived at the office, I didn't find my new office assistant at her desk, ready to greet me like I was any other client entering the lobby. It pissed me off more than a bubbly personality. In fact, her desk was completely empty, and there were no signs that she had even been there. I wanted to fire her already. Snarling, I drop off my coat and briefcase in my office before I hunt down my last remaining law clerk to figure out what's going on. I hear commotion in the conference room, so I enter and find several employees leaning over a table, combing through documents and reference materials. It almost looks like a massive cram session or a shredding party. Neither are the case, although there is just one damn problem with the scene in front of me. Hell, if I'm truthful, I have a lot to say about the sight in front of me. What's going on here, Miss Dalton? The question is curt and pointed because my brain has suddenly short-circuited. Four sets of eyes are on me, but there is only one pair that gains my complete attention. They're extremely gorgeous and full of awe at this moment.
Mr. Smolinski left for Finch and Morris this morning, so we're cleaning up his mess.
Miss Dalton speaks, breaking my concentration on the newest addition to my team. Her voice picks up almost an entire octave as if she's scared of me. She should be, because my mood has suddenly become erratic. My brand new employee shouldn't be hunched over papers. Did he? I ask as if I wasn't already aware of the situation. My eyes linger on my sudden obsession, scowling and then looking down at the papers on the desk. She follows my gaze that's focused on her unbuttoned blouse. Her plump breasts are nearly on display for Jason Maxwell to see. His line of sight is aimed directly in her direction. Maxwell, Johnson, see yourselves down to your offices now. I need to have a word with Miss Dalton in private. They quickly depart with their tails between their legs, as they should, because I'm a step away from firing them for ogling her. You. I then glare at my new employee. My emotions were a riotous mix of anger and jealousy. Fix your blouse and sit right there until I return. She blushes harder with embarrassment than the one already on her flushed face. I turn on my heel, quickly exiting as Miss Dalton follows me out and into the conference room across the hall. When I close the door, I say, "If you're looking for brownie points, this isn't the way to get them."
"Work needed to be done,"
she insists, daring to argue. Nothing was that urgent that it needed four employees, including my newest employee, who has other tasks as well as two other lawyers as clerks. If you and Smolinski had done your job, we wouldn't be in a rush. I don't have another trial until next week, and I have everything for this case, unless something else should pop up unexpectedly. My temples throb with the mounting irritation.
I just wanted to make sure we weren't set behind, and the guys offered to help. They know Valentine, so they wanted to help her on her first day up here.
Those fuckers want to bed her, that's why they were eager to lend a hand. Those assholes couldn't go a day without seeing her. I bet. Now, go get that shit cleaned up while I deal with Miss Pernetti. I leave without another word. I return to the conference room to find the beautiful assistant smiling down at her phone and typing away. A growl comes from my throat, and I don't even recognize the sound myself. Her eyes shoot upward to me standing in the doorway. "Ms. Pernetti," I snarl, "please come into my office." She stands, and I turn to avoid taking a second glance at her sexy legs. My dick is so hard I could cut glass with this fucker, so I walk ahead. The entire way to my office is painful, but I manage to get there without grunting. "Take a seat," I say, letting her move past me. While I close the door, I take that second to adjust my cock before walking to my side of the desk and taking a seat in my favorite leather chair. "Ms. Dalton informs me that she put you in a very awkward position this morning, and you have responded quite well given your inexperience." She didn't say all that, but she didn't kick her out of the room, so she must have been doing a good job.
"I'd say so," she huffs, sounding annoyed.
"Still, I must stress to you the importance of not using your cell phone for non-work-related matters in the office when you're on company time." I point to the device in her hand that still has my teeth on edge.
"Sorry, sir. I hadn't had lunch or a break."
I check my watch, growing angrier at my law clerk by the second. "What time did you start today?" I ask, eyebrows furrowing.
"I arrived at 7:34, according to security."
"It's after 4. She practically rolls her eyes at me.
"Exactly. I'm a bit tired and hungry. I get this is probably normal for you all, but us average people aren't used to working to the bone without eating."
"Ms. Pernetti, all employees should still take a few minutes to break away from the assignment and clear their heads at the very least. I know that Miss Dalton can be a bit anxious, and yes, today was an unusually chaotic day, but you should have eaten. Let us go to the conference room and continue to go over your duties while I have dinner brought up."
"How long will we be here?" she asks,
probably having enough. For Powell, she never had to stay past 5, and as much as I'd hate to admit it, she doesn't have to stay late here either. "I will be here all night. You will be going home after you eat." The thought of our time together being so short makes me miserable. "And before you ask, the company will pay for the food."
"I could go home and eat," she offers, annoying me.
If she thinks I'm going to let her get away from me so soon, she's out of her mind. I stand and walk around my desk straight toward the door, not giving her another chance to debate with me. And another chance for me to breathe in her floral scent that's driving me wild with every single inhale. "I said you will go home after you eat dinner. Will Chinese do?"
"Yes, I'd love that."
She smiles, and it's like a shot in the chest. This woman has become my undoing, and we've only just met. "Good. There's a menu for a place we prefer in the kitchen. Also, grab a snack while you're in there. Don't let me hear that you haven't eaten again. As a lawyer, I can read people, and I know I make her uneasy, but I do that to everyone. Although it's only her first day, her unease could be that. Or perhaps she can feel the energy between us. Does she feel this sexual charge like I do? I shouldn't even be considering that line of thinking, but I am.
Where is the kitchen?"
Fuck, I'm her boss. I close my eyes and pinch the bridge of my nose to get myself and this raging lust under control. I want to bend her over and stuff my cock deep inside of her, but I can't.
"Never mind, I'll find it."
"No, I'll show you." I stay in front of her so she can't accidentally get a glimpse of my bulge ready to burst from my slacks, and I can't get a shot of her round ass.
We enter the kitchen and find Ms. Dalton is standing there on her phone with a cup of coffee in the Keurig.
"Oh, here is your coffee, sir,"
she blurts out. "I don't want any coffee. Order the usual from our Chinese place and whatever Ms. Pernetti wants. I don't have the capability for niceties at the moment. My body has run out of blood for thought and patience for strength." Storming from the room without another word so that my cock could calm down and I could readjust the hard bastard, I leave the ladies alone, which might not be the best idea. I just reprimanded Miss Dalton, and if she's already pushed out my other assistants, Miss Pernetti won't be far behind. I turn back and catch the edge of their conversation.
"You two are..."
Miss Pernetti asks.
"Heavens no. The man is made of freaking stone. I don't think he has feelings."
"Not for you. But I just discovered them for a beautiful brunette with big doe eyes and an hourglass figure."
"I'm sure he does, but..."
"They're not meant to be discussed in the office, ladies. Now please get your snacks and order the food so we can get back to work," I say, ducking my head into the kitchen doorway, startling my woman.
"Yes, sir,"
Miss Dalton answers like she should, and then I leave again to grab my briefcase and laptop, setting it down in the conference room before checking on the women. "Miss Pernetti, I don't see anything in your hands, so I'm assuming that you have either eaten in a rush or don't follow directions well." She raises her pretty, perfectly sculpted eyebrow at me with a bit of sass.
"I follow directions quite well. However, you were gone a total of a minute, and I was giving Ms. Dalton my order and apologizing for getting her in trouble."
"Do you always speak your mind?" I question, wanting to know if I'm going to have to punish her. Instantly, the thought of bending her over my desk and flipping up her skirt while my hand makes contact with her ass comes to mind.
"Yep, my friend and I have a policy to do just that. Now, this orange is too messy, so it will have to be this banana."
She isn't going to torture me like that so pointedly, is she? Is she aware of the effect she has on me? Looking me directly in the eye, she bites down on the banana. Fuck, she's a brat, and I love it. Shaking my head, I can't hide my amusement and leave the room. I work in my office until the food comes, because I'm not sure I can be around her without slamming her against the table and breeding her. It's insane how she flipped a switch in me, and I have to try to turn it back off. I'm her employer, and it would be completely unethical. We all eat as we discuss the projects. Most of the conversation seems to go over Valentine's head. In my head, she's Valentine, even though I have to call her by her last name. For my entire career, I've always maintained a professional manner, referring to employees by their last name for propriety. First names breed familiarity, and that leads to scandals and potential lawsuits. One of my bosses, when I first started, had that problem. Although he was trying to screw his law clerks all the time. As Ms. Dalton brings up the murder case I'm working on right now, I remember to remind Valentine that everything said in here is confidential. "Everything here is protected speech, Ms. Pernetti."
"Yes, I'm aware of that, although I haven't been to Human Resources to fill out any paperwork."
I turn pale and then red. It was supposed to be done immediately. "What the hell? Do I have to do everything myself?" I reach over and press the phone on the conference table, dialing HR immediately before they leave for the day.
"Agnes Fletcher speaking."
"Miss Fletcher, why hasn't Ms. Pernetti received her employment documents, including the confidentiality forms?" I snarl into the speakerphone.
"I sent them up this morning to be filled out and submitted to me by the end of the day, Mr. King. They're on the lobby registration desk."
I jump out of my seat and head over to the reception desk, and there it is. A packet labeled with Ms. Pernetti's name on it and a note to be filled out by the end of the day. I storm back into the room and set them down in front of her. As I do, I create a breeze and her scent hits me again, making me hard as a fucking stone.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?